Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
The Word of God is rich. It's real. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul from the spirit. Amen. Bones from the marrow. So oftentimes we don't really think what that means. Sometimes we don't care what that means, I could say. But many times we read things or hear things and we don't think much of it. We don't try to consider really what the depths of it is. I could say that many times in religious realms, the problem is we want to make a supernatural or a spiritual God. We want to make him natural. We want to make him like we are as men. Then we become religious, and so many times we want to be like him, but we try to fulfill it in the means of a natural way. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to bring the manifestation of the unseen things of the spiritual world to a revealing or a comprehension or an understanding in the things that we see, according to the Word of God in the Scriptures. See, people aren't going to see Jesus Christ in this dispensation having to do with this time. They're not going to see him with these natural eyes of observation. But they will see him in the mind of Christ through the single eye of observation, if they would look, because many times he walks among them and they do not see him because they're looking with these eyes here. And he walks among them and he speaks and talks and they reject him. You see, when the Lord Jesus himself came and walked among men, he walked amongst the greatest religious sect of people of history ever known. And they rejected him. And they took him to an evil government to crucify him and to put him to death. Some were looking for a kingdom with observation, but he told them, he said, my kingdom is without observation. You don't see my kingdom. My kingdom is within. We're in a day and hour that there's a Pentecostal and a charismatic move and prosperity move. We've got men like Joel Osteen that are leading these works. You know, if Joel Osteen would say, look, you know, I'm not a Christian. I'm a motivational speaker. I want you to prosper. I want you to be a good businessman. I want you to enjoy life. I'd shake his hand and say, thank you. Amen. But he's a preacher. Projects himself to be one. Many people, they weigh and judge out their spiritual strength by prosperity. He says he wants us to prosper and to be in health. Could a man, because maybe he is not good in health, that maybe he's having physical infirmities, does that mean that he is unhealthy in God? Think about it. I know that God is a healer. And healing is our bread. We're his children. I believe that. I know that. I understand that. But still, I can't look at an individual that has some sort of an infirmity and think that they don't have God. I can't look at poor people and say, well, surely they don't know God. You know, we're charismatic, man, and if you're walking with God, you're going to prosper. Well, he does teach that. So they're not altogether wrong, but then yet, they aren't altogether right neither. Because my Bible said, you know, speaking about the poor, they receive Jesus gladly. So if the rich answereth haughtily, and I consider myself rich in the things of this world, and I just can't receive the Lord Jesus, I would rather be poor, amen? So we got all these different things to differentiate out, to decipher. And, well, what is it, brother? Are we supposed to be rich and blessed, or are we supposed to be whatever? Well, let me tell you this. Riches is a wonderful thing. Prosperity, naturally speaking, is a wonderful thing. But what's more wonderful is to have your riches stored away in heavenly places. Jesus said that he came down to men to come to a less estate or came common. And he became poor. Why? For we could become rich. So if he would become poor in this world, was he want us to be rich in this world? Many times the prosperity of this world would take us away from the things of God. So is being rich a good thing? He says it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God as a camel going through the eye of a needle. But all things are possible with God. So I could say a rich man could make it in. He just expressing the difficulty. And if the haughty spirit comes before the fall, and the rich answers haughtily, and then if there's going to be a fall, who's going to be there to pick them up? You see, there's a lot of things. I could generate a lot of questions here tonight. I could answer a lot of questions, but also I could say a lot of things and generate in your thoughts and minds, well, what is it? Many times the problem, and I use a term called differentiation often. I had a minister over here in Greensboro get upset with me because it wasn't a biblical term. And I thought, well, brother, if you want to talk about biblical terms, I'll talk to you about your rapture. It's not a biblical term. I'll talk to you about your millennium. It's not a biblical term. I'll talk to you about some of these things, and I could go on and on. And many times we'll use a word that we understand to express something of God. I don't have a problem using millennium. If we want to be biblical, we say a 1,000-year reign. I don't have a problem talking about a rapture. But then yet, if we're going to be biblical, we'll talk about a catching up, a transfiguration to the body, witness of redemption of the body. And this is a very dimensional thing. We got people chiding. Well, I believe in pre-tribulation rapture. I do too. Well, I believe in post-tribulation rapture. Hey, I do too. Well, you're just mixed up. No, maybe you are. Maybe there's more than one. Did you ever consider that? Maybe there's one to the natural Jew and there's one to the spiritual Jew. Maybe there's one to the natural body and physical body and the spiritual body. And that's the truth. It's His. I can show it to you in the Word of God. If rapture means to catch up, so then let me ask you this. If I'm in heaven, can somebody tell me how I got there? I'm asking a question now. I have the answer, but I'm asking you. How did I get to heaven? Now, does my Bible teach me that I'm dwelling in heavenly places? Does it teach you that? Does your Bible teach you that? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the thing is, we know our Bible says that we're dwelling in heavenly places. How did I get there? Did I go down or did I go up? So was I caught up to that place? So if I'm caught away in heavenly places, could I tell you tonight that I've been raptured? I mean, you could say, well, I don't know about this. Well, I do know about it. So what part of me was raptured? Is my fleshly man in the third heaven right now? Well, you know it's not. It's not relative to the third heaven. And it's not in the third heaven. Now I've got a spirit man. How many of you have a Bible that teaches you that there's an inner man and an outer man?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got to start identifying these two men. We got to start identifying them in the ways and the means of understanding. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Well, if you're not, then what were you? If he couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, then he would have to speak unto you as unto carnals, right? Is that correct? Okay, so now we got carnal and we got spiritual. So now we got two different things. We got an inner man and outer man. One's relative to natural, carnal. One's relative to earth. One's relative to death. It's appointed to men to die. So we find that. There's a man that's relative to the earth, and it's relative to sin and relative to death. And then there's one that is born of God that can't sin. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, I surely can. Why can't he sin? Because he's caught away, hid away in Christ.
Amen.
Nothing can be laid to his charge. So far, we're staying with the Bible, ain't we? So he's hid away. But see, we get paranoid about talking like this. Because we think, well, wait a minute, you know, I can't say that. I was talking to a Pentecostal minister one time. I said, you know, I'm a son of God. He goes, man, I can't say that. Well, you poor thing. What are you, a son of the devil? The Bible says, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Somebody stand up if I get outside of the scriptures now tonight. I'm staying with the Word of God. You know, get your pencil and paper. I write these things down. I challenge you. So I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Wow, praise God, man. You know, hey, glory, I'm a son of God too. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. Wait a minute. How can I be a bride and a son at the same time? I'm a son either masculine or I'm a bride and we say feminine. So which one are you? Well, which one are you talking to? You talking to the inner man or the outer man? Well, you wait a minute, brother. I'm the outer man. Now you're. I know that you're a man. You got a wife over here. So, you know, that's masculine. Okay, well, what's a son of God? I mean, come on now. We're still in the masculine realm there. But the Bible says that there's no male nor female in heaven. So now what are we going to do with that? But I just got done telling you I was in heaven. So see, we could start generating. I said I could stir up a lot of questions here. So we're going to talk about an inner man and an outer man, and one that's already caught away in rapture. So I could stand here tonight and say, look, you know, y'all talking about this rapture, man, I've done been raptured. So I have a God that says that he was, right?
Amen.
He was, is that correct? Amen. Says that he is,
amen.
And he is to come.
Amen.
So which one are we serving today? Are we serving the God that was? So we could talk about the one that was. Oh, I know that he was there with the people when the Red Sea parted. Man, I know that he was there, you know, when the earth opened up and swallowed them up. We can talk about the God that was. We can talk about the one that's coming, the one to come. And the Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. And his preacher been saying, oh, he's coming sometime. Oh, church, come on, he's coming for us. And the people is in a condition of a sickened heart because they've been hearing that he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. So, what's the problem? And then we have a God that is. He's ever present. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? The Bible teaches he's ever present. He's there in our time of need. The Bible says that if two or three come together in his name, where's he at? Is he off on some rock going around the sun? Where's he at? He's here. So if he's here, is he coming or is he here? Okay, he's here. Brother Branham, you got the Lord in your heart, right?
Amen.
He's here, isn't he? His kingdom's without observation. But you know, we get into these things and they go, I can't wait till the Lord comes. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying his presence, amen.
Amen.
I'm enjoying his fellowship. He sups with me. He talks with me. I walk with him. It says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Well, have you ever followed anything that isn't here? Oh, I'm following it, but he's out there 17 trillion miles away on this big rock going around in orbit, and I'm following him. You know, boy, you better get with it then. So we start speaking about things, not mocking. The Bible says God's not mocked. I'm surely not going to mock God. And now I know sometimes it sounds like I'm mocking these religious spirits, these religious ideologies, these religious theologies that people have. And there's so many of them in our land. I made a statement to him the other night. I said, you know what? It's getting to a point that I'm almost afraid to tell somebody I'm a Christian. Isn't that sad? Man, if I tell them I'm a Christian, they're going to think I'm a Looney Tune like a bunch of the other ones. That sounds disrespectful, I know. But I mean, how many people are professing Christian? Are you a Christian that's a whore? Are you a Christian that's a whoremonger? Are you a Christian that's a drunk? Are you a Christian that's a homosexual? Are you a Christian? Come on now. You know, that's what they call it, an oxymoron. There's no such thing. A guy says you like Christian rock and roll. There ain't nothing to like because there ain't no such thing.
Right.
It's not that way. There's no such thing as a Christian homosexual. There's no such thing as a Christian drunk. The Bible says this. It says that no drunkard, no harlot, no adulterer, fornicator is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now I can take you and read that to you. Why? Because they're not Christians. So see, now you start finding, if you say I'm a Christian, you have to define. Well, I'm one of them born again Christians. I'm one of them that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm one of them that's been hid away in him and sealed in and that's walking with him in the power of his might. I'm one that's been filled with his Holy Ghost and I've come out of the world. I'm a separate people or person. I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. I'm not of this world. I don't walk in this world. I don't love this world. You're not going to find me in the ballparks and the bowling alleys. You're not going to find me in the sports places. You're not going to find me in the frolics of this world because I'm not of this world.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, I just think that, you know, we could still just make this little prayer and make this little confession and we can have Jesus and take him with us. It don't work that way. I was trying to help a man to overcome smoking one time. And I said, close your eyes. And I've been there standing on the Sea of Galilee, beautiful place. But I was telling this man, I said, close your eyes. And I said, just get a vision of yourself standing on the Sea of Galilee. And I said, isn't it beautiful? Can you see yourself standing there? Hey, look, there's Jesus. Can you see him? Look at him. Oh, man, he's got a cigarette in his mouth. Nah, you didn't see that. It don't look right. It don't fit, does it? Well, look at him, man. He's got his little knee knockers on, his little shorty shorts on. Nah, you don't see that neither, do you? It just don't fit. Oh, I had a vision of Jesus. He's at the ball game. Nah, it don't fit. He was a holy man, a just man, a righteous man, a godly man. And he set an example for us. You say, oh, you're legalistic. Yeah, that's all right. You can call me whatever you want, but I found something that works. It keeps you out of the world. Now, you might dress right. You might not smoke and all this and bust hell wide open. That's what I'm talking about. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to look right, talk right, act right. Amen. I believe in fruit of the Spirit. Amen. If I plant a fruit tree out here in the yard, I'm going to be looking for fruit on that tree. If there's no fruit on that tree, guess what I'm going to do? The Bible says to lay an axe to the root. There's no need for it if it isn't bearing fruit. So we look for fruit. Oh, so you believe in fruit inspection, but not judgment? No, I believe in judgment. I do believe in judgment, most definitely. That's my calling to judge. These churches and preachers that are teaching you that you can't judge, you know why they're teaching you that? Because the preacher don't want to be judged because he's full of the devil when he's teaching that. Oh, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll make allowance. He's a little baby then. He has no business being a preacher. He needs to step down and get a man of God in there to preach the gospel. Because judgment begins in the house of God. That's what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, we're going to judge not just the people of this world, we're going to judge even the angels. That's what the Bible teaches, judging the angels. Amen? Well, that's just you that are spiritual. The Bible says it's the least of you in the church. The least of you in the church are going to judge all these matters. You understand that? The least of us. So we need to understand. We need to start understanding who we are in Christ. Who are you? Well, I believe I'm a son of God. Praise God. You're in trouble then because he says he's coming back for his bride. Well, I'm the bride of Christ. Well, which one are you? The Bible says that we've been adopted into the kingdom of God. So are you adopted, or the Bible says that you've been born into the kingdom of God? Which one are you? Are you adopted, or are you born into the kingdom of God? See, I'm both. You see, the Spirit, the inner quickening of the Spirit has been born into the kingdom of God. This Spirit man is walking and dwelling with God. He's already caught away and raptured into the heavenly places with God. You understand that? Now we talk about He condescended to men of a less estate. Now what about you and I? So if I'm in heaven, and if I'm living in heaven, now we got to start defining, where's heaven? Which heaven are we talking about? How many of you read in the scriptures where He said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but He said, I know. It was something He did know, that He was caught away where? To the third heaven. Okay. Now I've got a sister in here, but she's married to my third child, my son. He's my third. You know why he's the third one? Does anybody know why he's the third one? Because I had two before that, right? I mean, that's not hard. I mean, sometimes we've got to make things real clear, right? So if there's a third one, I got to somewhere. Now you say, you don't have no Bible for that. Well, I got Bible for a third one. And if I got Bible for a third one, that means there's a first and a second one. Now, if I wrote a little story, a biography or something, I said, well, my number four child, now you might not know in my biography that I had maybe five or six or seven or eight, but you know for sure I got four, right? So if I was speaking about my fourth child went with me on this trip or whatever, you'd say, well, I know then that he's got three others too. See, that's not complicated, right? So if we got a third heaven, we got a first and second. So now we got to start figuring out which one of these we're living in. All right? So now we're talking about first and second, third heaven. We got a rapture that we're talking about for your terminology's sake, or a catching away. We have one that's relative to the body, one relative to the soul, and one relative to the spirit. A body, soul, and a spirit. Now the thing is that if all we talk about is this relativity to the earth and vessel, yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, then we're not speaking like Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Now we're again looking, defining, differentiating. The carnal mind is death. That's what the Bible says. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal with God. Brother, you think you could be equal with God? Sure. Oh man, the doors ain't locked. You could run anytime. No. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm called in defense of this word. Well, how can you think you could be equal with God, preacher, when we get reports and we read in the scriptures that He come and walked among men, and He laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He opened up blinded eyes, raised the dead, and He done these things. I said, I'll do greater. You say, boy, you're messed up now, son. See, that sounds haughty, doesn't it? But He said, greater things shall ye do. So I haven't left the word. You say, well, wait a minute. Preacher, you say, greater things? Have you raised the dead? Have you opened up blinded eyes? I'm working on some right now. You see, the people in this religious air that we're in, they're going to get excited when you go over and lay hands on somebody and they receive a healing. But you know, you could take a man that's walking with a white stick and you could say, I command sight in you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that man gets his eyes open and shouts and screams and runs around the church and say, praise be to God, glory to God. And the man may have had a relationship with the Lord Jesus and loved the Lord in his blindness because he had saw into the kingdom of God. And then he gets his eyes open and he starts lusting after this world. He goes and gets him a driver's license now and gets him a car. And he starts running off through town and going around. And then pretty soon he finds himself in places and the man goes to hell. Boy, you're such an awesome preacher. You laid hands on this man and he got his eyesight and put him in hell. So what is greater than that? You know, when we think of the lepers with their hands being eaten off of them, you ever looked at leprosy when it starts eating the hands off and the limbs and they start killing that? And Jesus heals them, but one of the 10 only came back to even praise him or thank him. So we've got to go something greater than a natural miracle. But the church doesn't see it. You could have somebody walk in with 20/20 vision and they could run a mile in 4 minutes. They could hear a hoot owl 2 miles away at midnight. But they're blind, they're deaf, and they can't walk. And they come into the house of God, and the preacher under the anointing of the Holy Ghost lays hands on them and imparts the power of the living God, the Holy Ghost. And the shucks come off the eyes, and they begin to see. And they begin to walk in the Spirit, and they begin to hear. Now, does that sound greater than what Jesus done? Well, didn't Jesus do that when he's here? No, he was come to fulfill and finish another dimension. And he brought forth a spiritual realm. You see, there's a water realm, a blood realm, and a spirit realm. Jesus finished the blood realm. It's finished. Isn't that the last thing he said? It's finished! What was finished? You see, we're in a day and hour that the people in the churches are pleading the blood of Jesus. They go off out here and they yield to the passions of their sinful flesh. And they go off into immorality. And they come into the church and they plead the blood of Jesus. And the preacher pleads the blood of Jesus on them. And they say, your sins are forgiven. They just defied the word of God. Are you listening to me? I got Bible now for this, what I'm teaching here. If we go over in the scriptures and we read about Cain, he brought a sacrifice to God. He was a farmer. And he brought this sacrifice. And what did God say about Cain's sacrifice that made him so mad? He was a farmer and he brought his first fruit to God. You see, that was okay before the fall from the water world. They partook of something they wasn't supposed to partake of. And when they partook of that, there was another dimension that was introduced. Somebody tell me what God did when he found them naked in the garden. He slain a beast. And there was a bloodshed. So there was a blood life that began. It was a blood dimension. And there was a bloodbath all the way through the Old Testament. Go and read it for yourself. You go into that city and you slay every man. And you slay every woman. You slay every animal, every beast. Don't take no spoils. Kill it all. Bloodshed. Jesus came and fulfilled that and finished it. He was the ultimate blood sacrifice. He was a bloody mess. The Bible said he was marred beyond recognition. You wouldn't even put a picture like that up. It would be so hideous and terrible to see a godly, holy man stripped down like an animal and branded from one end to the other. I'll tell you what, when they put that crown on his head, they jammed that thing down mocking him. And it ripped his flesh. And the blood was running. They beat him and they plucked his beard and they took a cat of nine tails and whipped him. He was beyond recognition. He would have been such a swelled up bloody mass you wouldn't even want to look at it. But when he went to the cross of Calvary, there was something finished and it was blood life. You see, there was still a water world going forth when the blood dimension started and ran for all those years. There was still a water world. There was still vegetation. It's relative to the water world. You shut the rain off, the trees die, the grasses die, everything dies. It needs water. It's water life. The things in the ocean need water. Water life. We go to blood life. In blood life, if there wasn't a blood seed that left the loins of the man or the beast or whatever, it would be done away with. You see, there's some churches teaching today that Jesus got children. That's sad. I'll tell you this, biblically speaking, in that dimension of such, Jesus could have married. That's not what he came for. But he could have. The Bible said the bishop being a husband to one wife. Could have married. He could have married. There's no recording in the scriptures. And believe me, if he would have married and had children, it would have been recorded right here. It's not recorded. But there's a lot of perversions being taught. If I was going to take you to turn your Bibles over to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. That's what it says. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. But you go to churches and the preachers are teaching you that you're sinners and you sin every day. You know why they teach you that? Because their father's the devil. I know that sounds strong, but I'm telling you, we're in a day and hour that, you know, we need to get with this word of God because everything has been so polluted. It's a sad day. A frightening day. The Bible said, small flock, few be there that find it. And the righteous scarcely make it in. He said, listen, if this is what I've done to my own son, what do you think I'm going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? We need the fear of God. We need to know what kind of God that we're serving. They've made this God out to be a homosexual little sissified thing that just everything's okay. You could live like a dog. You could live like a harlot. You could live like a sodomite. You could live any old way and just plead the blood of Jesus. That's a lie from hell. Are you taking away the blood, preacher? No! I'm standing here because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he brought forth another dimension. Paul knew that. He understood it very clear. The Bible doesn't say I'm led by the blood. It doesn't say I want to speak to you as unto blood life. He said I want to speak to you as unto spirituals. Unto spirituals. You know why you're spiritual? Because you've been birthed of the Spirit of the living God. So, we have a water world. We find the violation in the water world, and we find a blood world introduced. And in this introduction to the blood world by the taking of these animals or beasts and slaying them and clothing them with a covering, there was a Shekinah glory covering, and they fell away, and then went to a beastly covering. Then we come down to the end of beast life, and we find the ultimate sacrifice. He said the blood of bulls and goats he was not pleased with, but there was a sacrifice that was made that he is pleased with, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some things I'll say, and you'll have to find the mind of the Lord on it. But the Bible teaches that Jesus came in the image of sin. He was without sin, but he came in the image. That was the beastly image that was taken to the cross and done away with because it represented you and I. In your first birth, you're a beast. See, we're talking about your first birth. We're talking about you as men. We're talking about you that's pointed unto death. All flesh goes back to corruption. We're talking about you that come from the corruptible image, that you are corruption. But then yet the Bible talks about corruptible and incorruptible. It talks about beast flesh and fish flesh. And then it talks about celestial flesh. Now what are we talking about? Preacher, you've been talking about blood and spirit. And you're talking about inner man's and outer man's and first, second, third heavens and raptures and natural, physical, and spiritual, and body, soul, and spirit. Now you're talking about flesh. Well, when Jesus came in, says that the doors were barred, the windows were all shut, and all of a sudden he was there with them. They touched him. Hey, Thomas, come here. Why did he say that to him? Because he knew what Thomas had said already. Well, I'm not going to believe it unless I could put my hand in his side and see the nail prints in his hand. I said, Thomas, come here. Put your hand right here. What was it? What was it? Come on, was it spirit? Was that spirit that we saw there? What was it? Was it carnal flesh? No, carnal flesh can't go through walls. It wasn't no longer telestial. It was celestial. It was spirit flesh. It came right through that wall. Amen. So now, who are you? What are you? The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. You cannot sin because his seed remaineth in you. I've entered into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm married unto him according to my Bible. Which part are you talking about? The bride of Christ. Now many people are teaching that this bride realm is some distant thing. That we're going to go up into some heavenly place. And we're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. And then this is when we're going to get married unto him. If that's the case, Jesus is a whoremonger. And we know better than that. He's a righteous God, a pure, holy God. And there's no sin in him. So that means he's already had a relationship with the bride. What is the offspring of the relationship with the bride? The sons of God. Do you understand that? So we're differentiating. How are we doing this? We got a body, we got a soul, and we got a spirit. And you need to understand these three dimensions. If you don't, you'll walk in confusion. And somebody tell me where confusion's at. You say, well, preacher, you're the one that's confusing. You know, I just love God, and everything you're talking about is confusing. It's not confusing to me. This is sound doctrine I'm talking about. I've got Bible to show you everything and everywhere I've been. I'm not just up here rambling. I'm following the mind of Christ and the Spirit of the Lord. So many times we walk far below the privileges and the things and the means that God has for us because we simply don't believe the Word of God. Oh, I believe. Well, the devil believes also, the Bible says. And he even believes with fear and trembling. So we got to go beyond believing, don't we? We got to get a little farther than just believing. Well, I went a little farther than just believing. I believed in my heart. When the Bible says your heart's continually evil and wicked, you don't even know your own heart. So if you're trusting in your heart, you're in bad trouble. It's deviceful. Scripture in Proverbs says that if you follow after your own heart, you're a fool. Well, the Bible says you got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I know that's why there's not many saved. Are you mocking the Bible? Not at all. I'm understanding it. There has to be a heart change. There needs to be a heart change. So if I've entered into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ, and this seed remaineth in me that keepeth me from sin, I could turn you over to the book of Revelations and it talks about a place prepared for that woman. And it said a wilderness. that there was a devil there, a red dragon, to devour the child as soon as it was born. It was a place prepared for the woman. The woman went to this place. So now we're differentiating again. See, we follow patterns. We watch allegories, types and shadows. So we find the Lord Jesus Christ birthed over here in Bethlehem. And we find an adversary that was seeking out to kill him. They said, go and put all of the firstborn children to death. And there was a place prepared. Where did they flee? They went to Egypt. A wilderness. An allegory is talking about something there. So now we go into another dimension. And we find a place prepared. Now we talk about this woman. Now remember, we got three heavens now. We got to figure out where these ones are at. If there's no male nor female in heaven, then which one is that talking about? Because right now, you are sitting in the first heaven. You know, we got women here, we got men here. So that scripture can't be right. Well, we know that Satan was cast out of heaven. But then yet we find this woman over here in Revelation, and there was a child to be born, and we find that this red dragon was there. Well, what was he doing there when he was cast out of heaven? Because we're talking about a second heaven. You see, there's people that discard the Bible because of these things. They say they're contradicting. 1 John 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and you deceive your own self. 1 John, the third chapter, says that if you sin, you're of the devil. And that ye that are born of God cannot sin. So which one are you going to believe? Well, I'm going to believe the first one. If I say that I had no sin, I'm a liar. So I know I was born into sin with the sins of death. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thank you, Jesus! When's he going to do it? Is he going to come back and die for you? No, he's already done it. It's finished. I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, I live by faith. What's faith? It's invisible. Boy, you sure make things easy, preacher. What do you mean it's invisible? Well, it comes, brings a substance. The substance's not invisible. That's why when people say that they've got the Spirit of God and they're walking by faith, I look for the substance. It's visible. It's fruit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, is it something that you could see with your eyes? Sure. That's what compels others to come in. Well, that could be said there. So now we're speaking about marriage. Where we are. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the Spirit. Mm-mm. What did it say? One in the flesh. Well, I just don't like that. I want to be one in the Spirit. I'm married unto Christ. So we're going to talk about one where? In the flesh. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you done unto me. Why? Paul said, I show you a mystery. He said, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. I'm one with God. Do you understand that? He said, I don't know, preacher. Man, you're getting in some shaky ground now. I ain't left the scriptures. They went to the Lord Jesus, and they were taking up stones to stone him to death. He asked him a question. He says, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me to death? And they said, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. So what did Jesus say to him? He turned around and looked at him and said, but isn't it also written that what? Ye? What does it say? Ye are gods. Now this is the Lord Jesus. He's the Word. Does everybody agree with that? In the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was where? It was God. And it's what is God. So now we got it was and it is to come. Several scriptures that tell you that. The problem is in this day and hour people are talking about the God that was. And they're talking about the one that's going to come. And they're not living with the one that's now. We need a now God. If you don't have the now God, you won't know the future God. I'm telling you the truth. The church is talking about this rapture. Oh, yeah, no, someday it's just going to be a big poof. Most of them ain't got enough spirit to get them through the sheetrock. They got some funny ideas about things. You know why there's such a problem nowadays? Because they've made God into such a mockery. They've made Christianity into such a mockery. They've taken and denied the power of God. The Pentecostals have taken the power of God into some babbling, speaking in tongues, say, there's the power and the demonstration of God. That's not the power and demonstration of God. I speak in tongues. I believe in praying and speaking in tongues. But I sure don't believe that that's the evidence of a Holy Ghost feeling. A Holy Ghost infilled life is obedience to God and walking in the power and the authority of the living God. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're endued with power. Power to walk upright, power to walk in righteousness, power to walk in holiness, power to come out of the world, amen. Power to overcome fleshly lust, power to overcome a lying tongue, power to overcome addiction to drugs and alcohol and those kind of things, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Our God is power, amen. So now, we find him when we go into the scriptures and the word of God, that the Lord himself speaking said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God, the firstborn of many brethren. So now I'm born of God. So I could come behind this sacred desk and I could say unto you that I'm a son of man. My father's not here tonight, but I could point at him and say, that's my father, I'm a son of that man. And I can also say that I'm a son of God because I got a heavenly father and my spirit cries, Abba, Father. Amen. So I got to make a twain there. Now, if I love my natural father than I do my spiritual father, then I'm not worthy of him. Or if I love my wife more, my children, or anything else, I'm not worthy of him. You see, now we start making some differentiation. Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm sure about that. When they brought Jesus' mother and one of his brothers in, and they ask him, and he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Right here's my family. Was he denying them? No. He was saying there was something that superseded that. Now, when you're a born-again Christian, there's going to be something that supersedes your natural family. And that is the spiritual family of the living God. You find relativity, you walk with them, you fellowship with them, and things. And if your children or your parents or your whatever they are not walking in the Spirit of God, you find that you're backing away and breaking fellowship with them. That's hard. Man, I don't know, preacher. That sounds pretty tough. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. And if your mama's walking like a whore, then you're walking with her, then you're a whore. And if your daddy's a whoremonger and a drunkard and you're walking with him, then that's exactly what you are. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I believe the Word of God. So the Lord Jesus is walking along and he said, come on and follow me. Oh, just wait a minute there, preacher. Let me go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He was a tough guy, wasn't he? I just can't imagine that. Could you hear a preacher doing that today? They'd probably put him on CNN News. This preacher, man, I'm still mad at him. He told me to let somebody else bury my daddy. People don't like the Bible. They like this Bible that's being presented in this day and hour that, oh, you just got to say this little prayer and you ask Jesus in your heart, and hey, man, then you're one of us. What kind of ignorance is that? That's like telling a daddy or a man and woman that get married, hey, just go have this relationship, a little frolic and all this kind of stuff, and man, she'll probably have this seed going and get a kid, and that's all there is to it, and then you're going to get your dad. Kid just raised itself. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. There's a travail. Make your calling and your election sure. There's a travail. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, a mind to suffer, a mind for persecution and tribulation. Everyone wants to paint this Christianity and says, oh, it's such a great place, and we get it. It is. Don't misunderstand me. It is. I love it. But you know what? He's equipped me to be persecuted. He's empowered me to be treated terribly bad. He's strengthened me to be crucified and lied against. Amen? The Bible said they hated him first and they're going to hate you also. What do you think he was telling you that for? For they could all like you. Every all these preachers want to be the pretty boy and want everybody to like them and want to please everybody. Come on. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to get you on the street called straight. I'm here to point the way to you. And I'm here to show you the way. I can tell you, follow me and you'll be following Christ. I can tell that without you saying a problem. You might have trouble seeing God, but you can see me. You follow me, and you'll find your way into the kingdom of God. You say, well, you're overconfident. No, I'm all confident in him. You know why I'm saying that? Because the Bible said it's no longer the man speaking, but it's God speaking. And how can you follow something that's dead? I've been crucified with Christ. Oh, well, that's just a saying. It is to you. It isn't to me. I've been crucified with Christ in the life that I now live in the flesh and live by faith in the Son of God. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture to you. I don't want you to leave church here tonight thinking I don't use this Bible. Let's just go to the first part of this verse right here, or first part of the chapter 6. We'll read a little bit here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I think the religious world needs to start out right there, doesn't it? God forbid. How shall we that are dead? I believe the Bible. This Bible's yea and amen. Let this word be true and every man be a liar, according to the word. I'm called in defense of what this Bible's right here. We don't need some theologian to tell us what it says. We just need to simply read it. Because these theologians went off to college to get twisted just like the rest of the lukewarm vomit. You learn a lot on the cross. Well, you just don't like college, Bible college and stuff. You know, if you went there, you wouldn't talk that way. If I went there, I'd be talking a whole lot more that way. Because I've had to take and cast the devils out of the preachers that's been there. Some of them had a good calling on their life and anointed, and they loved the Lord, and they decided their grandma talked them into going to Bible college. And they went there and got their little brain warped and twisted by some kind of theologian that was full of nothing more than religious doctrines of devils and traditions of men. And they spend more time teaching them what their denomination believes instead of what the Bible believes. And when they got to get deprogrammed and cleaned up and devils cast out of them and cleaned up where they could take a rightful place in their calling, then you start saying, I don't think I want to go to that one. A doctor of theology wrote in a book when he was talking about, all he was asking is, he's got his little commentary, and the serpent that bit, the viper that bit Paul on the hand when they were shipwrecked, he explained it because he was a doctor in theology. And he explained that when the serpent was in the flames of the fire there, that it was biting at the flames and it had put all of its venom out. And then when he bit Paul, he didn't have no more venom. That's a carnal-minded, natural man. And he calls himself a theologian when he needs to sit down in the back of a church and pray that God would give him some wisdom and understanding, that he could talk about the simplistic things of God and God's word and the supernatural power of God, that when you would drink or eat of any deadly thing, and it will not harm you. Amen? I mean, it's the power of God. Paul lived because of the power of God. It wasn't because the snake blew all of its venom out on the log in the fire. And if this is the kind of stuff that you're going to get for, you can get some certificate. Help us, Lord. Okay, what shall we say then? Verse 1, Romans the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's say that this man named John Fawn then, okay? And he's broke the law. And man, I tell you what, he has broken every law in Sophia and Randolph County or wherever we're at. He's broke them all. He's got the law after him. Presumably he's got more warrants than anybody we ever heard of. Poor fella, man, he got killed out here on the street. Are they going to pull him into the courtroom and make him stand for his punishment? Could you see him taking this corpse and setting him in the courtroom, setting him in a chair and judging him? He's dead. What do they do with dead people? They bury them. If they're going to start judging dead people, they're going to start digging up a lot of them, ain't they? You understand what I'm saying now? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How, if you've been crucified with Christ, been buried with him, then how could you live in sin? And how could you stand judgment if you're dead? Now see, you got to make this twain now. You got one that's dead and you got another one that's alive. One is from the spirit of life and the other one's from the spirit of death. Natural, carnal. It's on its course to hell. Corruption. Well, don't you believe in the redemption of the body? I sure do. Amen. You want to talk about that? We'll have to shift gears and you sit down and we'll go on there for a little while. Love to talk about that. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. We should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, but you're talking future, brother. We'll talk about that. We have resurrection. Resurrection has to do with what the church world calls rapture. So we have a resurrection. We have a natural, physical, and spiritual resurrection. A body, soul, and a spirit. Now what you're looking at here, what you see, is a lying vanity. According to the Bible, you owe it to yourself to look these things up. But this is a lie. This is vanity. The Bible said that the world doesn't see us of what we already are. Because now we are the sons of God. No, they don't see you that way. But when you appear with him, they will see what you always were, a son of God. But they don't see it. Why? Why don't they see that Brother Rob's the son of God? Because they don't have eyes to see. They're blind. Now do you see the purpose that we have? For if we have been planted together, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. When Jesus was going over to Lazarus' tomb, he was dead. Lazarus died. Jesus wept. But he told him, he said, no, he's not dead. And they said, yes, he is dead. Master, listen, he's dead. He's been in his tomb for 4 days now. He stinketh by now. And he said, no, he's not dead. You know why he wasn't dead? Because sons of God can't die. And then they went and questioned him, said, well, you're speaking about the resurrection. You're talking about the resurrection. He said, what? What did Jesus reply to her? He said, I am. I am the resurrection. Is that what he said? Who are you? I am the resurrection. You say, you can't say that, preacher. Why can't I? Jesus said it. He was the firstborn of many brethren. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm supposed to have his mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A man and woman marry. Paul said, I show you mystery. They become one in the flesh. I became one with the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm born of him. Hid away, sealed in with him. He's hid me away in him. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. I'm staying in the Bible. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I can't die because I passed from death unto life. I'm more than a conqueror, the Bible says. What did you conquer? Death, hell, and the grave. Because I'm eternal. I'm living forever. Why? Because I'm the resurrection. The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. That's what it says. Now you are the sons of God. Why? Because we're God's. And we can't die. Gods don't die. You say, man, you're blaspheming. I didn't say I was a God as a man. As a man, I'm just like all wretched, corruptible flesh. And it's appointed to one thing, it's corruption and death. But I'm talking about a born-again Son of God that's eternal, hid away in Christ, that can't sin. See, people are afraid to talk like that because they're afraid to talk about the power of the living God. They're afraid to talk about who they are in Christ. You see, we need to get real with God. We need to quit playing these little religious games. And we need to quit talking about the God that's come or the God that was to start praising him and living with him now. He said, go ye there until you're endued with power. And they went to Jerusalem. They tarried there for 10 days. And he came. He fulfilled his word. He came. Oh, but brother, you don't believe he's coming again? Natural. It said, why do you gaze here looking into the sky? In like manner that you see him rapture up. In like manner that you see him, he'll come back in like manner. Well, who's he coming back to? The church? Has he left his church for 2,000 years? When he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Has he left us for 2,000 years just to walk in this earth and to ramble around? No. What's he coming back in like manner for? To the Jews that didn't accept him. And then the blood's going to go to the horse's bridle. And what does the Bible call that day? The great and the terrible day of the Lord. Is that what you're looking for? He's coming with an iron fist. Is that what you're looking for? The blood to run to the bridle? Is that what you're looking for? The judgment? When the Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The minister's thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. And if you don't receive the exhortation of the minister, then you're a fool, the Bible says. And you'll find yourself in the lake of fire. You see, we got to get in the Word. We got to stay with the Word. Go to Romans, the 13th chapter, and read about the minister. It'll tell you about the minister. Woe unto him that holds a sword back from blood. Tells you to fear that man. What are you teaching, preacher? I'm teaching that we better start waking up and getting real with God. He come before Peter and he spoke to him and they fell over dead. He said, you're going to fall. He said, they just carried your husband out of here. You better start believing in the power of the living God. Well, you want people to fear you? Not at all. I'm just a brother. Amen. The least of all of you. Don't come bow down to me. I'm the least of any of you. Man, I stand before the living God with fear and trembling. I love the Lord. Amen. I pray I can help you say something. Amen. But I know the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And when he said it's no longer the man speaking, but it's God speaking, you better take heed when you hear the Spirit of the living God speak. You start differentiating, saying, well, this, well, that, you find yourself in trouble with God. Amen. The greatest thing that I am is a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God. Amen. I'm not doing away with the blood dimension. I came through the blood dimension because without the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus, you won't be saved. You'll never have your sins remitted, taken away. But once your sins have been remitted and that thing's been taken away, you enter into a spiritual covenant. Amen. You're led by the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Amen. Because you're of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. You're not carnal. You're not of the flesh. And this is what I'm speaking about tonight when I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you as if you're spiritual. I'm speaking to you about spiritual things. I'm speaking to you about the things from above. I'm speaking to you the things that are righteous and pure and godly and holy and strong and strength and power. If you want to talk as men, then I'll say okay. And then I'll step into old wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Do you want to go down that trail? Oh, poor me. Oh, God. Things that are spiritual, amen. But we got to rend the veil. You see, this is a daily thing. The Bible says, mortify the deeds of the flesh daily. So there's got to be a death daily. There's got to be a crucifixion daily. There's got to be a resurrection daily. There's got to be a rapture daily. There's got to be a catching up daily. Caught up to the throne. Transformation of mind. So I got to do this daily. Oh, the inner quickening of the Spirit is caught away, hid away, sealed in already. It's already caught away. No, I'm not waiting on that to happen. It's already happened. If that hasn't happened, it can't come back and redeem that body. The purchased possession. Who purchased it? The Lord Jesus Christ did. I'm not saved by my works. I'm not saved by my deeds. I'm saved by the works and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But when I was saved by that, it was why? Because of faith. Because I believed in the finished, completed works that Jesus done. And when I have faith, and what does faith produce? Works. Amen. So I preach works. It's not works unto salvation. It's works because of salvation. Because you ain't got salvation if there's no works. You could say, well, I said a prayer. I don't care about your prayer. Well, don't you, my God? I said a prayer. I've seen a lot of them say prayers. I watched them speak in tongues. I watched them cast out devils. I watched them lay hands on the sick and they get healed. And they stand before the Lord and he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. So if you think that's a vindication of eternal life or the spirit life because they speak in tongues or because they cast out devils, let me tell you, I've seen some preachers, man, that you'd say, I know that man's of God. Well, that's scary. Man, there's deceiving spirits, man, deceiving devils, familiar spirits. Something looks like God, sounds like God, looks very familiar. The master of deception. Tell you what, I had to go back to my bank. I got a $100 bill one time from the bank. And I went to spend it. They said, man, this is counterfeit. I said, it can't be counterfeit. I just got the bank. I went straight back to the bank. You know, it looked pretty good to me. But you know, there's a lot of people walking in counterfeit right now because it looks good to them. You understand that? It looks good to them. Hey, this looks good. It feels good. Hey, you know, people like that religion at all. Just plead the blood of Jesus. Just go ahead and live like a dog. Just plead the blood of Jesus. Man, they're mocking God. Read Hebrews 6. Once you have tasted of this world to come, once you've been enlightened, he said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. And when you know it's sin and you continue on in it, it's willful sin. And there's one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. Read it for yourself. And if you don't believe it in Hebrews 6, go read about it in Hebrews 10 then. Well, you're going to take two passages of scriptures and you're going to build a whole doctrine on it. The Bible says line upon line and precept upon precept. Boy, there's so many things could be said here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Does anybody need a definition of henceforth? For he that is dead is freed from sin. How many have been crucified with Christ? How many are dead with him? Or do you think you just went to that baptism because you smelled bad in your old flesh and some preacher took you down, dunked you in water? What was that for? Because that's what you do with dead people. You bury them. It talks about in the scriptures that them that are baptized. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I'm living with him. So that's what I should believe in it. I like the word. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon likewise. Likewise, 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 likewise. You're crazy, preacher. I just like to make sure that you're reading this, hearing this, that you have ears to hear and eyes to see. This can't be disputed. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Oh, but it's just an inward work. But don't let it reign in your mortal body. Well, Jesus looks on the heart. If he is, you're in trouble. You're in bad trouble. I mean, some of these sayings that ring through the churches. Oh, holiness is just an inward work. It doesn't have anything to do. You're legalistic. The Bible says present your body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. I just don't like religious people. I'm sorry. Let not sin therefore reign. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So if you're not yielding your instruments to God, then you're not alive to God. And you're still dead in trespasses and sin. See, there's two deaths. We got differentiate deaths. Some are dead in trespass sin, and others are dead and buried and hid away in Christ. Two different deaths. I'm going to read 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. When then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I don't mind exposing sin. I don't mind exposing these false religious ideologies, doctrines of devils. I call them by name. I could take you in the scriptures where the early church and the brethren done. They said, mark them that walk disorderly. Mark them. What does that mean? What does it mean, mark them? I tell you. You remove them. And number them as a heathen, it says. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey is servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So now there's something going on here that what we're yielding to is what we are of. Oh, but we're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works. Yea and amen. But his faith brings works and the fruit of the Spirit every time. When you're born of God, you're going to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of God when you're born of God. People question, well, I don't know if I'm born again. Well, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? We make allowances for little babies now. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, I'm preaching doctrine tonight, which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Boy, now we can preach, son. Boy, we're getting down some good stuff now. Holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, just turn over to 1 John real quick, and we're going to read a couple scriptures, and then we're going to close. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Praise God. That preacher may not be all wrong. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. How could you expect them to know that you're a son of God when they didn't know he was when he walked with them? I'm just upset. They just don't know who I am. Well, he said that they hated him first. They're going to hate you also. They didn't have no reason to hate him. They don't have no reason to hate you, but they're going to hate you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, didn't we just read back over there that the law was done away there? Okay, I just want to make sure you're all paying attention. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Well, how did he do that? Because he dealt and done away with the law. Well, so I mean, we can continue on in sin. You know, he said back over there, I got to take you back over to Romans. He said, God forbid. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So how do you come to this place that you don't sin? Abiding in him. Now you know that he has no sin. And if you're in him, that would make him have sin in him. If you're a sinner. Is that right? Now I can take you to another scripture in the Bible that says that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. So if you're going to believe the doctrine that you're a sinner and you sin every day, you're going to have to believe also the Bible. And it says that God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. So you know when you're praying, he ain't hearing you. I like it when I pray because he hears me. And I like it when I pray because I hear him. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. Why didn't they see him? Because they didn't have eyes. Right? I mean, if you don't see somebody, it's because you don't have eyes, right? I see God. You do? Where's he at? He's here. He is. Somebody raise your hand if you're part of the body of Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So if I see you, what am I seeing? See, the people will not see Jesus, but they will if they would look and see. And what they do to the least of us, his brethren, is what they've done unto him. But I was in prison, you visited me out. But Lord, when was you in prison? What you done to the least of them? And he said the least of them would judge all these matters, any of the matters in the church, and even the angels. Right? We got to stay with this Bible. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Now you can see why I said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. But God, how can you say I never knew you when you said you know all things? You know the number of hairs on every head. You know the number of beats in every heart. And you say you never knew me? Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. But he was espoused to her to marry her. You see, we got to understand what that knowing is. That knowing is a relationship. You understand that? And when he said, I never knew you, it's because they were never made pure and spotless and holy to enter into the chamber of the living God, that the seed could be imparted into them that would keepeth them from sin. You understand that? See, blood life depends on a blood seed to bring forth. The Bible talks about two seeds, and one of the woman. And there's a seed of the Spirit of God that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. And without that seed, you are nothing but sin. So you need to be born of God and born again. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. I had a preacher arguing with me about not sinning. He got upset, a Pentecostal preacher. He said, man, you can't go teaching people they can't sin. You can't do that. And I said, well, do you sin? He said, yes, I sin every day. And I said, you're of the devil. He wanted to fight. He did. He got mad. I just told him the Bible. Well, you shouldn't have said that. I'm called in defense of the word. He's the one that said he sinned every day. And I said, if you sin, you're of your father, the devil. Did we just read that? So did I give him the word of God? Well, brother, you might have offended him. I didn't offend him. The word of God offended him. Why? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Do you believe that the Son of God was manifested and he come to take away our sin? I mean, we either got to believe it or not. And if you're going to be born of God, you better start believing what he came for. And if he didn't finish and complete and do away with sin, then somebody tell me when he's going to do it. It's done. It's taken care of. The Bible goes on to say that you will not even stand before him for the sin of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, he won't stand. It's the sin of the soul. See, another dimension now. We stepped off into another realm. The soul, I wish we had time tonight. Some of you are getting weary and tired. I wish we had time because we can go into speaking and teaching the soul realm that has to do with the second heaven. And the second heaven lays between the first and the third. If you're going to go from the first, from this natural fleshly realm, over to the third, you got to go through the second to get there. That's where the blood is. That's where Jesus came. Blood life. Jesus came. The image of sin. He came in this blood life. He came and done away with it and finished it to bring the blood out. Every drop, for it could be finished and done away with. So it has to do with him being the cross, the second heaven, the mediator between the flesh, between man and God, the Spirit. So Jesus being the mediator, the bridge across this gap, the second heaven, the soul. So we go from the first heaven, the natural world, from flesh, and we go through the soul, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we enter in to a door that has been opened where? Into the third heaven. See, we got to get this understanding because what happens is people are, they got an understanding of the soul dimension and the soul realm. I preached a message called the soulish religion. And they're pleading the blood and talking about the blood all the time. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. I wouldn't be where I'm at without the blood of Jesus. But let's be spiritual. Let's talk about being an overcomer. Let's think on the things that are from above. The things that are righteous. The things that are pure. The things that are holy. The things that are virtuous. The things that are godly. The things that are pure. How did that happen? Because it's in the Spirit. See, I'm not doing away with the blood. I'm fulfilled it. It's fulfilled, and I'm showing the fulfillment of it because I'm led by the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit, and I speak by the Spirit, and I'm speaking unto you that are spiritual. Amen. I pray you have ears to hear. Amen. Because spiritual ears hear what the Spirit of the living God says. Amen. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How many believe the word? Okay. So if you sin, you're of the devil. I mean, that's kind of easy, isn't it? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. How come you cannot sin? Because his seed remaineth in me. Isn't that easy? You know, when my wife and I were married, had a relationship, the thing is we had children. You know, I got a kid. Not four of them. And when they're bad, guess what? They're still mine. Well, Jesus don't have no bad kids. Amen. I agree. He don't have no bad ones. Why? Because they're pure. They're righteous. They're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. They've been hid away. They're sealed in. They're pure, clean. Well, what about all this? You know, what happens, Brother Rob, if you go out here and you do something wrong? Blessed is the man who God doesn't impute sin. It's not imputed to me as sin. It's a trespass. He said, pray for their trespasses. So a trespass is different than a sin. Go and read your Bibles and read it out for yourself. But if you trespass, what does the Bible teach? He said that God chastens them that he loves. And if you're not chastened, then you're a bastard child. Why do they use the term bastard? Because they don't have a father. But I have a father. It's a heavenly father. You see, then we have to start talking about perfection and being perfect. I'm perfect. Why? Because my heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. And he said, be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So preacher, you think you're perfect? No, I don't think I'm perfect. I know I'm perfect because he perfected me by his work and by his blood at Calvary. So that means you don't ever make mistakes or fault. Now you want to go there, huh? Okay. You want me to talk about the stumbling, the staggerings? The times that I fell on my face and a righteous man gets up 70 times 7? What dimension y'all want to talk in tonight? So what are you saying? That you could live the life of a sinner and then you could live a life as a Christian? No, I didn't say that. I've already come and was born in sin with a sense of death, but I come to faith in Christ and realize the Adamic nature that I was born in, and I repented of that, and I called upon the living God, and He filled me with His power and His Holy Ghost and His Spirit, and give me His power to walk in righteousness and to come out of the world and to be a separate people. Amen. Okay, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Sounds like Bible to me. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The Bible said, you know that you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. That's what the Bible says. Okay, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Once you've tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now if I've turned over to 10 now, I'm not going to go over there, but if I turn over to Hebrews 10 now and you read it, what does it say when they do this? It said they have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. Okay, I'm a son of God. Okay, now if I go out and do this willful act, the Bible said there's a sin that's unto death. Don't even pray for that one. And there's another sin. Now if we start trying to understand here, if I go over here now and I'm a son of God, a child of God that cannot sin, and I go off into these things that are willful, that I know they're wrong, I've got one thing to look forward to, because the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is fulfilled, and the Word of God is right. It said, I got one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. What is that? John the Baptist said, there's one that I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoes, but he will baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and fire. What does the fire do? The fire purges and cleanses. I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus now. I'm talking about the purging of the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll purge every bit of dross and every bit of things out of us. You understand that? Now we're talking about another dimension. You won't ever get there unless you come through that blood. That blood done away with the Adamic nature of the flesh. Now we're stepping into another realm, okay? So you think there's a continuing work in the Spirit. Wait a minute. If you go there, you're going to be an heir. You're talking about me being a son of God. He said he chastens them that he loves. Okay, now we're in the second realm. Now let me talk about one that's not born of God. What is the fiery indignation of God to a natural person that is not born of God? The fiery indignation of God is being cast into the eternal lake of fire. Sons of God are not going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Do you understand that? So we got to differentiate this understanding. Sons of God can't die. What does it mean when they, you know, my pastor was a Holy Ghost filled man. I mean, he loved the Lord. You know, they put him in a box out there, man. There was no breath in him, man. You could put a mirror in front of his little face and there would have been no fog on it. I mean, he was, you know, man, his heart wasn't beating, man. Matter of fact, his spirit was gone from that. What does it say when the spirit is absent from that body? Did it say it was dead? No, it didn't say it was dead. It was present with the Lord. What's the Lord? He's life. That spirit's alive. It's alive forevermore. That spirit is the quickening. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, was what? A quickening spirit. And he talks about we, the quickening. We've been quickened, brothers and sisters. Oh, but that's something that's going to happen. I'm living forever now. I'm eternal now. I'm a son of God now. I can't die now. I can't sin now. I'm living forever now. I'm more than a conqueror now. I pass from death unto life now. I can't die. Well, we'll laugh at you when they throw you in a box someday. Well, go ahead. I'm going to be having such a good time, I won't even pay no attention to you. I can't die. Well, what is that out there when they're in that box? Sleep. Just telling you what the Bible says. Go read about the resurrection. It said those that are alive and remain. It talks about some that said the forefathers went on to sleep. It didn't say death. It said that they went on to sleep when Jesus went over there, Lazarus, he said, no, he's asleep. When he went and raised the young damsel from the dead, said she was asleep, and they got mad at him. And they started to run him out. He got mad and ran them out. And he went in there and he called her forth. He said she was asleep. I'm not going to argue with him. He's God.
Amen.
He knows. You see, we got to get our terminologies correct and right. We got to quit talking like the worldly people and these religious realm people. We got to start talking like the sons of God. We can't die. Why? Because we pass from death on life. Because we're more than conquerors. What do you mean more than conquerors? Because we've conquered death, hell, and the grave. How'd you do that? Because I'm in him. That's what it said here. Now, if you want to go into some teaching tonight, I'll go and start teaching on predestination now. Oh, you believe in predestination? Well, I'm just telling you what my Bible said. It said I'm predestined in Christ. So that means it don't matter what you do. Well, I can go there with you if you want. But it does matter. Because if I'm predestined, I'll bring forth the predestined fruits of Christ. If I don't bring them forth, it means I'm predestined to eternal damnation. Everybody's predestined, but what's the destiny? Make your calling and your election sure. How do you do that? By bringing the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't yield forth the fruit of the Spirit, then you're predestined into eternal damnation. If you're yielding forth the fruit of the Spirit, then you're a child of God, born of God, and born of the Spirit of God. And it brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I could turn you over to Galatians and read that to you if you like. But let's stand together. We're going to close the service. Let's give God in hand. Amen. Say, I love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm glad I came to church tonight. I had a good time. Amen. Let's get real with God. Let's examine ourselves, see if we be in the faith. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.